since we have room here. My name is Perry Halkidis. I'm the moderator for this session. I'm also one of the principal investigators on the project, the P18 cohort study, which is the basis for all of the talks that we're going to be sharing with you today. My colleague Farzana Kapadi is another one of the investigators, and Danny Ompad, who's sitting on the panel, is also another investigator. So I'm going to start briefly by just giving you an overview of the study, very, very briefly. And then the way that we'll run the rest of the afternoon is as follows. Each of the presenters will come up and present their piece, and then we'll have time for maybe for one or two clarifying questions. And then at the end, if there are any of you left, no, you will be. I know you will be, right? Because you're troopers. Come on, guys, it's 4:30, smile. We'll have a time for a conversation. So let me begin by just sort of doing a very brief overview of this cohort study, which has been in our lives since 2009. The study known locally is the P18 cohort study. It's a prospective cohort study that looks at HIV risk, sexual behavior, and substance use in mental health at its core, although many, many other health issues, in a diverse cohort of young men who have sex with men in New York City. And it's informed by a theory of syndemics. And the goals of the project because it's ongoing, to delineate risk and protective factors that are related to the development of syndemics, and then to determine over the course of time how syndemic reduction may vary by race, ethnicity, social class, and housing instability in what was originally a cohort of HIV-negative YMSM. And I think at one of the talks today, we'll be addressing the seroconversions that we've detected over the course of the last 36 months, I believe. Maybe not. Okay. So here is just a pictorial of the theory that sort of informs our work. And then this is the actual sort of more detailed representation of how we're doing it. We're looking particularly at the end, the far left there, at the syndemic health states of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. All of the participants in our study undergo a complete battery of both bacterial and viral STI testing now. We're looking at substance use, we look at mental health, and then violence and sexual abuse. And then to the right are the biological influences, behavioral influences, and psychosocial and structural influences that we examine in relation to these health states. So just briefly, in terms of the design of the study, the original cohort of participants was screened between 2009 and 2011. We screened out about 2,000 of them using both active and passive techniques. And to be in the study, the participants had to be 18 or just 19 years old, self-report HIV negative, and had sex with another man in the last 6 months. No requirement for a specific sexual identity or sexual orientation was required. 49% of those who were ineligible because they were older than 19 years old. The study sample at baseline of the first 5 years of data collection was 600, and there was a 1% HIV seroprevalence rate, so six of the men were tested HIV positive at baseline. Since that time, and I'm looking at Farzana when I'm saying this, since the 36 months that we followed them in this first 5 years of funding, another approximately 45 to 50 actually seroconverted. So the study sample undertook assessments every 6 months, spaced as such, an audio CASTI assessment, a survey that included a variety of measures, some of which are listed there. They also undertook calendar-based drug use and sexual behavior surveys using the timeline follow-back technique. They underwent a preliminary HIV antibody, oral antibody test that included pre- and post-test counseling. I've said that since that time, the study's been funded for another 5 years, and we're following these men for another 36 months. We have now incorporated multi-site gonorrhea and chlamydia testing, syphilis testing, HPV testing in two sites, and HSV testing. So they're receiving a wide battery of biologics. This is a snapshot of our retention of the study sample, which was pretty great. So by the end of the 36 months, we retained about approximately 81% of the original 600 participants. And here is also a just brief overview of the demographics of the sample that shows that we overrepresented oversampled non-white men. We have a pretty good representation in terms of perceived familial SES, a nice distribution there. Average age of beginning of having anal intercourse in the sample, around 16, both insertive and receptive. And some interesting data that, you know, we've published recently in JAES looking at the areas where these men reside in relation to HIV prevalence and in poverty levels with a, you know, somewhat strong association between seroconversion and living in areas that have high HIV prevalence and high poverty. And today, we are going to talk about several aspects of this study. First, we will be talking about partner selection in romantic relationships and the role of romantic relationships. We'll be talking about intimate partner violence for our second talk. We'll be talking about retention in medical care for our third talk. And we'll be talking about poverty and socioeconomic status in relation to this particular cohort in our fourth talk. This is just a picture of some of us. There are many wonderful research interns at NYU, some like 30 to 50 of them at any semester who help this magic happen, and these are my colleagues, and that's where the work goes on.